Well, we live in an unbelievable age, do we not? With these devices that are smaller than a sandwich, I can learn just about anything that there is to learn, anything that's happening in the world, I have access to. I can send my opinions and my thoughts to the planet, the whole planet. These things are as addicting as chocolate, am I right? Right? We have our very own reward dispenser. Like those, did you ever hear about those rats that they used to do those experiments with? And they'd set up the experiment where if the rat would come and hit the bar, they would get a pellet. And so these rats would come and pellet. Pleasure, right? They just wanted to get the pleasure of getting the pellets, right? Well, we have the same thing. These are my thoughts. Send it out. Those rats, they would actually, they would send a bell. They would ring a bell when they wanted the rat to go and touch the bar. And so they'd hear the bell and they'd go pellet, get the reward. Ding. Oh, Jessica liked my post. Thanks. LOL. Smiley face emoji. Right? This is what I think, right? These are like our little pellet dispensers, our little reward dispensers that we have. These things are changing existence. They're changing our world. They're absolutely revolutionizing a ton of aspects. One of the major ones that they're totally changing is accountability, how people are accountable. With that phone, I can incriminate anybody if I catch them right. I just have to video them or record what they're saying. I can catch them, and then I can send it to the whole world. I just caught you, and you're done, right? You are now accountable. In days past, you know, the way it used to be, like you might get caught if somebody was intentionally going after you, but now you got to be really careful. And in some ways, that's fantastic, right? This is a great thing. This is awesome that we are able to catch all these abusers and people that are totally misusing other people. That part of it's fantastic. People that once were just untouchable. They had power, they had money, they had fame, whatever it was, they could get away with anything. Now you can't. You can't anymore. It's not that easy, right? So in some ways, it's a good thing, and in other ways, there are some difficult things. However, this new accountability has a double-edged sword. All right, it's two sides to this thing. There's some good that, hey, now some people are getting caught that weren't before. But there are some bad things that are coming. It's now in vogue to criticize others online. Right? Like, that's the cool thing to do, is to criticize others, to come up with your ideas of how things are going, and for you to go and say, all right, I don't like the way this guy's doing this, and this is horrible, and this is terrible. Oftentimes, the goal is, hey, let's find the abusers. Let's find the ones that are bad, the really bad ones, the ones that are in power. But oftentimes, it just kind of disintegrates down into, here's my preference, and I don't like anybody else. And it becomes a judgment fest, right? This is called judging. We're not supposed to judge, right? So this is what it's become. This propensity for judgment carries with it unforeseen collateral damages. And it cuts both ways. And we saw one of those examples this week. If you guys were listening to the news, you may have heard that the New York Times posted an article talking about Harvey Weinstein. He was one of the founders of the movie company Miramax. And in this article, they talked about and documented all these different cases of alleged inappropriate contact with females that were coming to work for his company. I am lessening the severity of what I'm saying about the deed, not because I want to minimize what this man did, but because we have children in the audience, okay? So significant, awful, terrible stuff. And so that was caught. It went out. It went live. It went viral. Everyone went crazy with it. He lost his job at now the company that he started, the Weinstein Company. His wife is leaving him. And then there was the chorus of condemnation that came from every corner that you can possibly think of, right? So including many of Hollywood's darlings. There were a lot of Hollywood stars that jumped on the board, and the A-listers got out there and condemned his activity, which was good. Ben Affleck, the well-known actor, he was one of them. He voiced his opinion. He found out about it, and he said this, "I am saddened and angry," quote, "and the actions," quote, "made me sick." So he is among the accusers saying this is a terrible thing what Mr. Weinstein did. But it didn't last long because pretty soon afterward, a video arose from 2003, an MTV show, where Ben Affleck was doing a similar action to another female himself. So he went from being the accuser saying, you shouldn't be exhibiting that type of behavior to, oh man, now I'm getting accused the same exact way. All of a sudden, everybody jumped on him, and now he is getting attacked the same way Harvey Weinstein is getting attacked. When you jump onto criticism, especially when you have done the exact same thing, watch out. That's called being hypocritical, and you are in the crosshairs of the accusers as well. What are we to make of this situation? What can we learn from this situation? What can we take from it? What can we glean from it? Well, first off, let's be abundantly clear. These actions are horrible. They're detestable. You don't abuse women that way, or any way, in fact. Right? So we can all be very clear that that is inappropriate behavior. Absolutely should not have happened, and he is rightfully being shown to be what he is, and that should be universally accepted, that those actions were reprehensible. And yet, we're left with some questions. We're left with some deep, difficult questions here amidst Affleck's backlash that he got. When are we allowed to judge? When are we allowed to criticize someone else, especially online? Is any condemnation judgment? Or are there certain kinds that are good, certain kinds that are bad? I mentioned Weinstein. I talked about Affleck. Was I judging them? Was I making a judgment on them? And was I doing the same thing that I'm criticizing other people for? Am I allowed to say what I did? What if we have our own flaws? Are we still allowed to condemn others? How do we correct those who are sinning if we're not allowed to be judgmental? These are all questions that we have to answer. There's many others. I'm just giving you kind of the tip of the iceberg there. None of these really have easy answers either. And they're difficult to really get our hands on. But we're going to try to do our best, and we're going to take these cloudy questions. We're going to try to take what God has said, because he has said some very clear things. There are some very clear things that he has said about judgment and about these questions. We want to walk through those with you today, and our passage does just that. We also want to learn to be wise, and the way that we can be wise is learning God's word, listening to the Spirit, learning wise counsel, and learning from our experiences. So we need to be able to do that to decipher and make our way through these situations. So a couple things that I want to mention about that situation before we jump in. Number one, be aware your situation can change fast. It can change real fast, especially in this day and age. Affleck, he's an accuser. Next moment, he's accused. Okay? It can happen fast, all right? Number two, we have to be very careful how we judge, how and when we judge, all right? This isn't just willy-nilly, let's just throw our condemnation online. We need to be careful how we do it, not just so that we don't end up like Affleck, but so that we don't do it incorrectly. Number three, there must be a balance. There's got to be a balance between being able to correct other people and not hurting other people by judging them. So there needs to be some middle ground where we can land exactly where we need to be that is safe. Hey, be careful. We're in the age of the internet. If you get caught that one moment doing something really inappropriate, you're toast. So be aware. We live in that age. But as much as that seems like this is a brand new thing, this is a new phenomenon, like, where is this coming from? All of a sudden, anyone can catch me at any time? This is nothing compared to what we've already been told is coming. God has said that he will unveil everything. Here it is. Let me find my verse here. Matthew 10:26. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. God has promised to us, and he promised this a long time ago, everything's going to be made known. there's nothing that's going to be hidden. Okay? You think you're worried about a cell phone catching you. God's unveiling everything. Your heart, your intentions, your desires, your actions, the things that people saw, the things that people didn't see. He is the judge and he sees it all. So we need to be thinking of that. We need to be aware of that, as James talked about in chapter 2. He said this in verse 12, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." Let's keep that in mind as we go through this passage and as we walk through life. Today's text deals with judging. And this is the second time that James has dealt with judging. The first was in chapter 2 where he condemned it. And he was talking about favoritism, saying, we don't show favoritism in the church. He said that if you show favoritism, verse 4, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? For James, we are clearly not to judge others. It's very clear. And if you want to know what I said about that, you can find that sermon online. We have the sermons up now. That was from August 6th. So I had said some other things. This time I'm going to go into more detail. I'm going to dive into deeper. What is judgment? When is it okay? When is it not okay? And before we do that, here's what's at stake. Here's why this message and this particular passage is so important. And here's why we got to get this right. Number one, we have to get this right for the church. We talked about how important peace in the church is. That is one of our hallmarks that totally separates us from the rest of the world, is being able to reconcile with each other, to be able to resolve conflict with one another, to be in unity with one another. The rest of the world is in conflict. And they're trying to pretend like they're not, but you look around. It's a mess out there. And oftentimes our churches can be a mess as well. We need to get that right so that we look different than everyone else. Here's the other reason why we got to get this one right specifically. We have to get this one right because of the online situation, the internet, and what it is and what it has become. All right? When you look at the New Testament specifically, when people went to go evangelize, they went out to where the people were. And where the people often were the marketplace. They would all meet there. It was a place where you got your news and you talked to people. You learned what the new ideas were and you conversed with people. You debated. All of these things. It was a place where people naturally went to get their information, to get their connection with other people. Well, now if you go to the market, HEB, that's not really the place that people are going to get new information. They're not wanting to talk to you, right? Hey, I like Oreos too. Do you know Jesus? Like, how many people want to hear that when they go to the marketplace? I mean, if they know you, they'll stop and say hello, right? But that's not where they're going to figure out which religion I want to follow. That's not what their intent in going to the marketplace is. You know what is? The internet. That's where people are going to exchange ideas. That's where people are going to commune with other people. That's where they're going. And guess what? Oftentimes, the people that are from churches are judging worse than the other people. Judge, 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 icky, icky, ah! Judge, 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 judge. That's what we do, right? I'm dismayed at how much we judge other people, especially online. Like, all of a sudden, you get online magically and no more morality at all. Like, no more right and wrong, just pure, here's my flesh, I don't like this. Judge, 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 right? We can't do that. This is the place where the world is, literally the world is looking at what are Christians like. And if we don't get this one right, they're going to see us look just like everybody else. And they have no reason to look at Christ. Zero reason. We have to get this right. Okay, soapbox over. Now to our text. James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Here we are, verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you Whoa, start again. But who are you who judge your neighbor? This is what James has to say to us. All right, so let's walk through this here real quick. First off, here's the commandment right away. Don't speak against another and don't judge them. Why? Because if you're judging them, you are actually becoming a judge of the law. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, the law tells us not to judge, and it tells us not to speak against someone else. So if you're doing those things, you are actually putting yourself above the law. You're not above the law. You're under the law. So you need to submit to it and not put yourself above it. Remember, we talked about humility being so important in the last section. You need to be humble with being under God's law that he has given you. So we don't want to break God's law. We don't want to put ourselves under it. We want to do what the law has told us to do. Reason number two, there is only one lawgiver and judge. One. And he's able to save and to destroy. And that ain't you. Okay? You're not the judge. There's one. Don't take his place. So don't go and act as if you are God himself. Talk about not being humble, right? That's being prideful. So we are called to be under the law and to be under the one judge and not to take his place and not to act as if we are him. Then he ends with this rhetorical question. Who are you who judge your neighbor? You're nobody, right? You're nobody to be able to judge your neighbor. So stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. All right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about what does it mean to speak against, and let's talk about what does it mean to judge. Let me get some water. All right, to speak against. It means to speak against. It means to slander. It means to speak ill of, to speak degradingly, to defame, to smear. All of those are synonyms for what it means. The intent is to harm or to lower someone under yourself. That's the idea. It's evil. What this is evil. You are intentionally being evil in the way that you're speaking. It's not just saying something is wrong. It is putting yourself above them on the pedestal looking down at them. So that's what speaking against means. We're called not to do that. We are not to put ourselves above other people and to speak against them, to defame them, to lie about them, to slander them. We're told not to do that. Now, judgment, that one's pretty straightforward, but judgment is a little more complex. There's a lot more happening in judgment, and there's a long history in the scriptures of having multiple different meanings, and it's pretty difficult to dissect all of that. So I'm going to do my best and give you what I can give you as far as what this is. So basically, there's two main collections or categories of what judgment is. All right. The first one happens to do with awareness and analysis of truth. Okay, just being aware of what the truth is, analyzing what is true, trying to decipher what the truth is. The other one is having to do with authority and designation. So having authority over somebody to judge like a judge, a literal judge, is judging someone else, dispensing punishment or declaring what something is. That's the second one. The first one, again, is having to do with information, what is true. I am going to judge correctly. I judge, you know, there was that example of the dress that they posted online, and it was like, is it gold and blue, or is it whatever the other colors were? You're trying to judge what the truth is. That's an example of the first example, so. Now, please understand, I don't have all the answers here. I don't know all of this, and I'm not going to answer all your questions. There's going to be a lot of convoluted topics and situations that you can think about that are difficult and not easy to dissect. But there are some things that are real clear from Scripture, and I'm going to present those things that are clear. I'm going to tell you what I can tell you that Scripture does say pretty plainly. So questions that you have that cut deeper than what I'm going to give you today, I want you to go and seek the Lord's wisdom. Ask the Spirit to give you wisdom that he promised us in James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God and he will give it to you, right? So I want you to go that way if you have any questions and seek wise counsel as well. All right, who is allowed to judge in each level and in what context? Let's go through the first one, all right? So the first one, mental awareness of truth, seeing, just seeing what the truth is. That's the first one. The second one, these are within the context of awareness and analyzing, right? So the first one would be just being able to see the truth. Do my eyes work correctly? Am I seeing the true colors that I'm seeing? The next level is a little more than just seeing. It's actually evaluating and deciding. So you are reaching a conclusion after weighing a matter. All right, what's right or wrong? Let's have a debate. Is this right or is that wrong? Should we stay here? Should we move there? Should we rent a house? Should we buy? Is it right for the elders and deacons to do X or to do Y? All of those are, you are judging, trying to evaluate what is right and what is wrong. Now, with authority and designation, the two differences are, for that one are, number one, to distribute discipline or punishment on another. That's the first one of those. So a judge can give a sentence that then is followed for a criminal that has committed a crime. Here is your punishment. I am dispensing that as the judge. The other one in that is to designate or place value onto someone else. This is the identity where the judge is telling you exactly what your identity is, who you are. So let's go through and let's look at when are we called to judge and when are we not to. So going back to the first one, seeing, are we supposed to see the truth? Everyone's called to seek the truth. Right? Everyone's called through Scripture to judge in this way correctly. Judge and see the truth. Seek the truth. What is right? What is wrong? Now, are we also called to decipher in the second term there, the second way that we do the awareness and analysis of judging? Are we supposed to judge what is correct and what is not correct? Are we supposed to use our minds to come up with what is right and what is wrong? Sometimes, yes, we are. Oftentimes we are. We're supposed to judge, what should our church be doing? We're having a budget, we're going over the budget proposal. We gave you the proposed budget so that you could examine it and judge whether it is correct or not, and whether this is a good budget for us to have. You used your mental capability to examine it and to see is this right or wrong. But there's other times where there's other information I don't need to know. I don't need to know everything. I don't need to get into your business. I don't need to decide for you whether you should be sending your kids to public school or private school. I don't need to decide that for you. That's not for me to jump in and get into your business, right? So there are certain times where we are called to decipher things and analyze them and judge whether things are right or wrong. There are other times where it's not my business and I'm not called to do that. I don't need to figure out what's right for you and what's not. Am I called to figure out what is right generally? What is right and wrong? Yeah, absolutely. Do I need to get in your business to do that? No, I don't. That's the basic rundown then of the analysis and the awareness of truth and judgment there. All right, so yes, let's look at and let's see the truth. And oftentimes we're called to evaluate it and judge the truth correctly. Now, let's talk about what about the other ones? Judging in the terms of authority and designation. God has given some the authority to distribute discipline and or punishment to other people. So parents are responsible for disciplining their children. The government is responsible for maintaining order and disciplining or punishing criminals, right? The elders in the church, church leadership has been given the authority to discipline those that are under their jurisdiction. So if you are one of those God who has a God-given designation, you are to exercise authority over those in your jurisdiction with justice. We are called to judge correctly if we have those situations, right? I am supposed to be a good dispenser of discipline for my daughter, for instance. Are you supposed to discipline my daughter? No, don't spank my daughter. That's not your, she's not in your jurisdiction, right? That's not yours. That's my job, okay? So, but within my jurisdiction, as long as I'm being just and God has called me to that role, then yes, I am encouraged to bring judgment in the sense of discipline and or punishment, depending on what is just. All right, so the second usage then is to designate, to actually give a designation. This means the designation or assigning a value onto someone else, it is under that person's authority. I am designating who you are, what your identity is. This reaches who you are. So in other words, this usage of judging is acting as the judge. You are defining who they are. I declare that you are blank, fill in the blank, whatever it is. In the negative, this is condemnation. You are absolutely condemning who they are. This usage of judging is designated only to one. There's only one person that gets this ability, and that is the judge, God himself. We are never called to determine, to designate someone else's identity, who they are. We don't get that authority. That's for God to do. He is the judge. He is the one that designates who we are. He's the one that gives us the authority and defines exactly what we are. So when James says we are not to judge, he has this last usage in mind, okay? That's what James is talking about. James is talking about don't play the judge. That's God's job. Do not do that. Do not come in and say that someone else lacks value because you're taking that upon yourself. James pulls this straight from his big brother Jesus, by the way, who said the exact same thing. Let's examine Jesus for greater insight. Let's look at what Jesus has to say because he said the exact same thing a ton of times. The Israelites were tasked with obeying the law. They failed in every regard. Absolutely every regard. The judges over the nations perverted justice. Zephaniah the prophet wrote about Jerusalem and her people saying, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Meaning, the judges were perverting justice. They were taking advantage of the weak. This is what Israel was like. And it was like that not just with the judges, not just with the princes. It was like that all over the place. So they broke the covenant. And as a response, God had to bring judgment as the judge, punishment. He dispensed punishment, and he sent them into exile. So Israel had failed. Now God's response to that failure was to send his son, Jesus. So let's talk about who Jesus was and what he was doing. God gave Jesus authority to judge Israel. He came as the judge. That's who Jesus was and is still. He is the one who is able and capable and has the authority to judge. And yet, it also says that Jesus did not come to judge. Wait a minute. He is the judge. He didn't come to judge. Which one is it? He is, but he isn't. What are we doing here? Let's look at these verses here. John 5:22. This is what Jesus is saying. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. All judgment has been given to the Son. That's himself. He's talking about himself. The Father has given to the Son, Jesus, the ability to be judged. And yet, in John 3:17, it says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Here's what that means. The judge is coming. He is still the judge. He still has authority. But his goal is to give mercy. That's what he's trying to do. He's offering mercy. Think about that. The judge is coming to the condemned to offer mercy. That's who Jesus is. Remember, we talked about God is going to reveal everything. Everything. We are all condemned. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. We all have a dark heart. We've all made mistakes. We've all hurt other people. We are condemned. The judge is going to see that, and there has to be payment for that. But Jesus doesn't come saying, I'm ready to destroy. He comes and says, I want to give you mercy. Mercy. You don't have to go through this. And then he sacrifices himself on the cross for our sins. He takes the penalty. The judge gets the conviction and the penalty on himself. Here's how you accept that, by the way. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never found that truth, if you've never realized that God is going to save, is able to save you from your sins, this is how you do that. You believe that God has made that transaction, and you accept that. And that's where you put all of your eggs. You put all of your eggs in that basket. You put your entire trust into that. That God has offered you salvation from your sins. So if you have questions about that, if you've never done that, if you think you might have done that, but you want to make sure, the elders and I, we are totally available to talk about that with you. Please come talk to us. Please come talk to us after the service, because we would love to walk you through what that salvation is and what that means. Jesus didn't want to judge. He wanted to save. He is the judge. He comes to save, though. His desire is for all to receive this gift. If someone persists in their refusal, Jesus will let them have their judgment. He will do that. There will be judgment for those that don't accept his offer. There has to be a payment, and it's either what Jesus did that paid for it, or you have to pay for it. But his desire is that you would escape that judgment. So this is Jesus, the judge who gives mercy to anyone who asks for it. So how are we, his followers, supposed to act? What did Jesus say to us? He says this in Luke 6, 36 through 37. He's talking to us. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to be merciful, to forgive, to pardon. This is who we are. This is who we follow. Again, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 2. Do not judge. In other words, being the judge, the one that is dispensing who you are, giving identity. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Be very careful how you judge. And if you are judging, here's right, here's wrong, God has often called us to do that. But if you are saying, here's right, here's wrong, and I know exactly who you are, and I'm going to tell you who you are under me. You're terrible. You're awful. Fill in the blank with whatever awful thing you want to designate someone else. Look out. That's coming your way. I'm warning you. All right? Jesus has warned us. Do not do that. Because that same measure is coming back on you. Be careful. We are called to the same mercy, folks. Recall how James has called us to be merciful as well. In chapter 3, he said that wisdom is, among other things, merciful. In chapter 2, he commanded us not to show favoritism and summed up that section by saying, this is in chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's who we are, folks. That's where we come from. That is our slogan. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So when someone comes in here, mercy. We give them mercy, not judgment. We're not trying to peg them at where are they and how can we designate them. That's not what we do. That's not our job. That's the judge's job. Our job is to be like Jesus and to offer mercy to them. So let's recap. James commands us not to judge or speak against one another because doing so makes us judges of the law when we're supposed to be under the law. And because only God is the judge and able to judge. We're not supposed to do that. We are not to take that place. And he ends with this question, who are you to judge your neighbor? We are not worthy of judging our neighbors in the sense of we are the judge. There are many senses which judging the truth is correct, and there are many situations where analyzing for someone else, if someone else comes to you and says, hey, what should I do in this situation? You can help make a judgment on that by using your God-given mental abilities and wisdom to help them figure it out. But are you supposed to get into other people's business? No, we're not supposed to do that. There's one issue that is still kind of left hanging from this topic, right? So we talked about what James said. We talked about where he's coming from. We talked about Jesus and how he is merciful. Even though he is the judge, he wants to offer mercy. What about protection of each other, though? What do we do in the church? How do we protect each other from harmful things? After all, Paul said we could judge others in the church. Did you guys know that? 1 Corinthians, he said this. Paul was telling the church to expel somebody. He was actually saying that somebody had sinned so bad that they needed to be expelled from the church. He's saying this in chapter 5. And he says that we are to judge those that are inside the church. Yikes. Now, good news is in the next book, 2 Corinthians, that same guy that got kicked out, he gets brought back in. He had repented, he stopped sinning, and he wanted to come back, and they let him back in. So that's fantastic. But we still have a problem. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 5:12, do you not judge those who are within the church? And the implied answer is, yes, you do. So, Jesus and James say no. Paul says yes. What do we do? How do we deal with that? Again, this is one of those context is so important. Understanding the context gives you what kind of judgment is happening. So when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you are to judge those inside the church, he's not talking about that last designation. He's not talking about how you are the judge and you are designated someone's identity. What he's saying is the church in their God-given authority is to exercise discipline over those that are in their jurisdiction. Someone was sinning, they needed to bring discipline to help avoid sin, for one, and help the person that was sinning. The person thought they were safe because they were still in the church and they were still able to sin. No, they were in danger. So the giving of discipline was actually a mercy to that person and to help other people as well. So it is an exercise of the authority given to the church to bring discipline, not to be the judge over that person. And notice that that discipline had the result of being merciful in the end. It was merciful to tell them that they were off. It was also merciful when they came back. They gave them mercy. They didn't say, oh, you blew it, you're out, you're done, forget it. They said, no, you have repented, you come back. Let's give you mercy. The point of protection when there is sin is not retribution. Here's where I'm going to start talking to you guys. All right? When someone sins, when someone hurts us, the point is not retribution. The point is not to get back at them. The point is not to hurt them. The point of bringing discipline and bringing judgment in that sense is mercy and protection for us. If we are trying to wound somebody back for what they've done to us, we're not being like Jesus. And that's not the right judgment. That's falling into the wrong category. We are starting to act like the world and like the devil wants us to. What we ought to do is that when someone has hurt us is to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be loving, to be patient, kind, humble. We talked a lot about that in our Sunday school class, right? Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's who we are. And that mercy applies even to those that hurt us. Okay? Do not judge here. No judgment zone. All right? That's what our church needs to be. And we need to get that right. Do we need to judge truth mentally? Yes. And in most cases, we're supposed to come up with what the truth is. Are we supposed to dispense judgment with those in our jurisdiction? Yes, with justice, with the intent of being merciful. Are we to play the judge, to stand on a pedestal, to look down, and to designate someone's authority, and especially to harm them? Absolutely not. So may we have that be our calling card as a church. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And when you come to Community Bible Chapel, mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've given us your word and you've explained to us so much and given us so much understanding for this world and how we're supposed to live in it, Lord. I pray that we would be able to decipher this particular issue. It's very difficult to understand when we are judging, when we are not judging, when we're judging appropriately and in what way. I pray that you would give us the wisdom to see that here. I pray that you would help us to be people that are like you and want to give mercy, that want to dispense and give mercy to each other, to give forgiveness, to bring people back into the light. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be giving out retribution. I pray that we wouldn't be taking your place. I pray that we wouldn't be acting as the judge, but giving that over to you. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.